This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Napa Valley is known for world-class wine, cozy fireplaces, and that golden vineyard glow. But what if I told you the trip I just took also involved something that you'd probably never expect to find in wine country, but made this one for the books? Well, spoiler alert, this trip didn't just involve sipping Cabernet. There was a moment where things got way, let's say, louder than you'd expect in Napa Valley. Hey, my name is DeAndre Koch. I'm a financial advisor and I run a nationwide financial planning practice, but I'm also super passionate about travel. I love getting out and seeing the world, often in luxury and usually booked using our credit card points and miles. And no, I don't spend $1 million to earn 1 million points. My fiance Taryn and I have visited nearly 20 countries in just 3 years, flying business class and staying in some pretty incredible hotels for almost next to nothing. We share all of this in our weekly podcast, Revolutionizing Your Journey, and almost anyone on almost any budget can follow along. But this trip, no points, no redemptions, just a good old-fashioned cash-paid getaway to Napa. That's where I went with a crew of other financial advisors and friends, and although it was a fairly short 5-day trip, it turned out to be pretty incredible. Not just because of where we stayed or what we drank, but because of a few unexpected surprises along the way. So day one was all about our arrival. I flew across the country and landed in California ready for a very different experience from our usual travels. We checked into the estate Yountville, and right away you could feel the calm and experience of Napa. Beautiful landscaping, fountains all along the walkway, and fire pits that come alive at night. The afternoon, it was pure sunshine, pool weather. The pool's actually open for 24 hours in this resort. It's not heated, but it's still pretty perfect during the day. And one of the things I loved is that the sun actually stays unobstructed most of the day over the pool, so almost any time of day you can catch some rays if the weather's nice and you're wanting to lay out. And we did a full review, video review and blog post on the estate Yountville, which is where we stayed, which was a fantastic resort overall. Check out that video and the blog post as well to get a more deeper dive on the experience of what it's like to stay at this perfectly situated resort in Napa. And later that day, we were able to grab some cocktails before dinner, and we were still pretty much in short sleeves. But by the time we left the restaurant, that's a different story. We were practically sprinting back to the hotel because it got cold fast. And that's kind of classic Napa in the spring for what I've heard. Mornings in the 40s, afternoons in the 70s, and pretty close to freezing nights. So layers are an absolute lifesaver. I would highly, highly recommend you pack essentially for multiple seasons all in one trip. But day two was all about wine, and specifically wine tasting, and it was a pretty solid lineup. First up, we stopped at Barnett Vineyards, way up on Spring Mountain. That drive alone felt like kind of an adventure. There were switchback turns, narrow roads, steep drop-offs. We went up in a Sprinter van, and a few people were battling with motion sickness. So if you're prone to that and you're visiting a winery up there, I would say be ready. Stephanie Barnett of Barnett Vineyards, who actually grew up at the winery, hosted the wine tasting herself. And the setting was unreal. I'm talking 2,000 feet up, panoramic views, and sunshine all around. It's pretty much the type of Napa tasting that you would dream about. The wines are grown in volcanic soil, and you could taste it. Rich, bold, smoky flavors. The wine was fantastic, but I'd argue the view was even better. And it was really nice because they actually had a selection of snacks too, like apricots, prosciutto, cheese, crackers. Something I came to appreciate was very valuable because not every winery offers you food and snacks with their wine tasting. So it definitely felt almost like a moment out of a postcard, which I really loved. The next up was just down the hill, and it was called Barron's Family Winery. It definitely felt a lot more formal, but their tasting room was pretty cool. It actually had artwork all over the walls, and the artwork is stunning. Some of the pictures were small, some were huge, but the cool thing about the artwork was every single piece of artwork was from a past bottle, or essentially label, or a future one to come. So I thought that was a really unique take on utilizing your bottles as an art gallery and showing it off in the tasting room. And we wrapped up with lunch at VGS Chateau Patel. It was an outdoor patio, great shade, full buffet, and some more really great wine. And one of their wines actually was served at a presidential inauguration in the 80s, and they definitely made sure that we knew about that as well. But to be fair, it was still some pretty fantastic wine. After that, we did what any smart person would do on a sunny day. We hit the pool again. Now, day three, this is where things got awesome. We didn't just sip Cabernet and float around the pool. My buddy and I rented this beast. Yeah, an orange Lamborghini Huracan Performante in Napa. Now, I love exotic cars, and I've driven quite a few. I even drove a beautiful purple Huracan during the pandemic from Miami down to the Florida Keys in a lot of traffic. That was cool. But this was mountain roads, open air, no traffic. This was next level. And what was really nice is it was actually delivered to our hotel by Napa Valley Supercars. And we're talking a naturally aspirated V10, 631 horsepower, 0 to 60 in under 3 seconds vehicle. The first time I hit the gas, I basically just busted laughing out loud. Because it wasn't just fast, it was violent. But in the best way possible. It's the kind of speed that just grabs your chest and makes you feel alive. We actually drove out to Lake Berryessa, which honestly was the perfect route and not far at all from Yountville and Napa. We're talking long stretches, winding roads, elevation changes, barely any traffic at all. We even passed a sign that said winding roads for the next 36 miles, and we were all in. It was fantastic. Rolled down the windows and full send. The sound of the engine bouncing off the cliffs, unreal. Every shift, every rev, it felt like the car was a full-on experience. And honestly, worth coming to Napa almost on its own. And there was actually a moment where we came up over a ridge and boom, a panoramic view of the lake opened up right in front of us. We just pulled over, got out, stood there, and took it all in. No music, no phones, just could hear the sound of the engine cooling and the wind hitting the water. And the crazy part was that we had it all to ourselves. There was nobody around. I don't know if we just timed it perfectly or what, but it felt almost like it was out of a movie scene. And in that moment, Napa didn't feel like just wine country. It felt like we were experiencing a completely different world in a completely different way. So our final day there was an opportunity to just drive the Lamborghini around town before I was able to drop it off. And cruising through town, cruising to some of the wineries was a lot of fun. And after I dropped it off, I was able to walk around Yountville a bit. And it's got a lot of walkable restaurants, art galleries, and boutiques. It's one of those towns that just make you want to slow down. Now, there are some things that I didn't do, but you might be considering. You'll probably hear about the Napa Valley Wine Train. It's famous, and everyone knows about it. But every local I've talked to says the same thing. They say to skip it. They say it's overpriced, super touristy, and locks you into a fixed schedule. So I'm curious, if you've done it, was it worth it? Let me know in the comments. The other is the hot air balloons. That's a big one out there. And you'll see them in a lot of the shots. And they can be magical if the weather plays along, so keep that in mind. The mornings are cold, and cancellations do happen a lot. So if you book one, just be flexible and definitely make sure to bring a jacket. So this trip overall reminded me that Napa can be whatever you want it to be. Chill and cozy? Check. Sophisticated and slow? Absolutely. Fast and loud? Apparently, yes. From sipping wine at 2,000 feet to redlining a Lambo in the hills, this was luxury on every level, just in completely different forms. Now tell me in the comments, if you had to choose, would you rather cruise through Napa in a Lamborghini or sip your way through wine country, one tasting at a time? And if you've enjoyed this Napa story, go ahead and like the video, drop a comment, and hit subscribe. And if you really want to learn how to travel like this without always paying cash, check out our podcast, Revolutionizing Your Journey, which we'll link here. We share travel tips and stories from around the world and show you how to use your points and miles to book first-class flights and luxury hotels for next to nothing. See you in the next one. Cheers.
Luxury flights and hotels can be had for free. The world of points and miles sounds too good to be true, but it's actually real, but only if you know what you're doing.
On Frequent Miler on the Air, Greg and I, I'm Nick, discuss all the ways to earn points and miles and use them for outsized value.
Join us every Friday for our full episodes and every Tuesday for our quick, single-topic coffee break episodes.
See you there.